Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
In a scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning. Cup of murder.
Sometimes a case seems like, from the beginning, it might be an easy one to solve. On April 18th, 2016, a case that seemed easily solvable occurred that, unfortunately, remains a mystery even today. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Born August 9th, 1970, Terry Missy Beavers, living in Graham, Texas, met and married a man named Brandon Beavers in 1998 and welcomed three daughters into their lives. Working as a fitness instructor and incredibly involved in her community, Missy began holding Camp Gladiator boot camps at the Creekside Church of Christ in Midlothian. Committed to her work, on the morning of April 18, 2016, awake before dawn, a heavy thunderstorm rolled into Midlothian that might have had some canceling their plans. But the night before, Missy informed her students that class would still be on schedule, but that instead of doing it in the parking lot, they were going to move it inside of the church. Posting on Facebook, "No excuses, you are gladiators," the 45-year-old mother of three was seen on the church's surveillance footage entering the building at 4:18 a.m. to prepare for her 5 a.m. class. Shortly thereafter, the first wave of students arrived and, walking inside, stumbled upon the brutalized body of their beloved instructor, Missy Beavers. Called to the scene after she was pronounced dead shortly after the paramedics arrived, investigators learned that their victim had suffered from a serious head injury and had multiple puncture wounds to her chest. There was no doubt that Missy was the victim of a homicide, but with no known enemies, they had a hard time finding a person who would want the well-liked woman dead. Checking the surveillance footage, investigators found that, though the cameras on the outside of the church were not functioning that day, the ones inside captured a suspect of unknown gender entering at around 4 a.m. and walking through the hallways, stopping occasionally to smash the glass and try and open some of the doors. Wearing what appeared to be a SWAT police uniform and tactical gear from head to toe, including a vest that was marked police, a black helmet, and a pair of gloves, Missy was in the midst of bringing in her exercise gear when she presumably encountered the suspect. With the wounds found on Missy's body consistent with the tools the suspect was carrying throughout the church, at first, the police stated their belief that the suspect was male, but later changed their stance, saying that their gait, as seen on the footage, seemed more aligned with that of a female. Keeping a lot of the details close to the vest, they did say that the suspect had a very distinctive walking gait and seemed to be holding their hand on the wall in an effort to steady themselves. Unsure if the troubles with their right foot or leg were temporary or not, in 2021, the FBI asked Dr. Michael Nierenberg, a forensic podiatrist, to study the footage, and he concluded that the walk was affected by the weight of the gear that they wore, and that there was no relationship between the gait and a gender. Therefore, it could not be determined just by watching the suspect walk. Nothing seemed to be missing from the church, ruling out the motive of robbery. And despite the claims that she had no real enemies, investigators began working under the theory that Missy Beavers was the target and that the killer might have tried to stage the scene to look like a robbery gone wrong to try and cover the whole thing up. At one point, even filing a warrant claiming that the suspect possessed a smartphone, which they might have used to stalk Missy's schedule and to record her murder. Because homicide in the area was a rare thing, officers weren't used to dealing with a murder investigation. Doing what they could, some of the video footage was released to the public in hopes of someone being able to identify their suspect, especially by the specific way they walked. And within hours of the release, the department was inundated with tips and leads. Bringing in the FBI and the U.S. Marshal's Office to try and help field the calls, another police search warrant alleged that Missy, in the months before her murder, had been the recipient of, quote, creepy and strange messages from an unknown male on her LinkedIn profile. Believing she may have been in contact with her killer prior to the murder, this individual was tracked down, and the person stated that the conversation was nothing but a flirtation. Subpoenaing her phone and recovering messages, in addition to those LinkedIn conversations, police found other messages from a man that Missy had shown to a friend a few days before her death. The names of those individuals were never released. Questioning those closest to her, they were able to confirm that both Brandon, her husband, and Randy, her father-in-law, were out of state when the murder occurred. Speaking with Brandon some more, he said that their marriage was great and that they were really happy together. However, digging further, police learned that on April 22nd, Brandon's father, Randy, went to a dry cleaner in town with a woman's blood-stained shirt asking for it to be cleaned. He told the employee that it was from breaking up a dog fight. But at that point, Missy's murder was all over the local news, and the employee decided to call the police just to be sure. A warrant was issued, the shirt was analyzed, and based on the testing, it seemed like someone had already tried their best to remove the stains before bringing it to the dry cleaner. Though Randy's alibi was that he was in California traveling, police noticed that he had a similar physique to the person seen on the surveillance footage, and that he walked with a limp. Despite this, the alibi was concrete enough that it cleared him as a suspect. And then his daughter corroborated her father's story about the dogfight. This was confirmed when the test came back in and determined that the blood on the shirt was canine. Though this, for police, was enough to clear his name, Randy became a pariah in the community, who had already marked him as guilty. A few weeks later, police found security footage from a nearby sporting goods store that showed a Nissan Altima driving around the lot just a few hours before the murder. Also releasing this to the public, the car's owner never came forward, and no one called in any tips on the vehicle. Another car found near the scene, an SUV seen leaving the church that morning at around 4:30 a.m., this information was kept from the public and out of the media. Then, in the fall of 2019, the police, still working the case, realized that a tip was phoned in multiple times and had somehow been overlooked earlier in the investigation. This one involved a former Lancaster police officer named Bobby Wayne Henry, a man who was a tactical officer who admitted to having his old riot gear, but claimed that he didn't fit in it anymore. He was a licensed security guard who, coincidentally, ended up working Missy's funeral and attended Mass at Creekside Church of Christ. Suspended back in 1996 for an aggravated assault charge, he also owned a similar car to the one seen on surveillance and walked with a distinctive limp. Problem was, he was 6'1", much taller than the person seen inside the church that day. Eventually arrested for child pornography charges, Bobby Henry spoke to the press from jail and said that he did not know Missy and that his alibi for the night of the murder was corroborated. He was later released, was not charged for child pornography, and was ruled out as a person of interest in Missy's homicide. Despite help from the FBI, suspects, loads of tips, and a lot of hard work, the case of who killed Missy Beavers remains a mystery. The reward, as of 2021, reached a staggering $150,000 for any information that might lead to the capture of a suspect. According to investigators, they received tips daily about the case. And in 2022, a podcast called True Crime Broads discussed the case and maintained a billboard advertising the reward in hopes of solving the case. A case that seemed like it would be an easy one to solve, but is still a cold case. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear what terrible thing happened on April 19th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there is always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.